Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we're here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. It's so wonderful to see some of you back who I haven't seen in a while. Welcome. And to see all of you who are showing up here in person, welcome. I can't see those of you out on the internet, but I can tell you welcome just as well. I'm very grateful. I know people are listening and watching us while they're having their morning coffee and while they're doing their accounting and they're doing all sorts of other things, but knowing that they are indeed receiving a good idea and a good word at the same time. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing this time together. We are a center that celebrates life, that celebrates the life in you as you, for you are life's opportunity. Your life's opportunity to be something unique, something special, something that's never been before and will never be again. There may be some people that look like you, that are similar to you, but no one else has walked your path or told your story. That's why in this teaching, we are so quick to say we honor you and we celebrate you. However you understand yourself, however you name yourself in the world, whatever labels you choose for you, whatever ethnicities, whatever places you put yourself, we celebrate those and we celebrate you standing within those. So thank you. Thank you for being with us and thank you for allowing us to have this moment to say that to you, that you are special. You do matter and you matter a great deal. We talk a lot in this teaching about oneness. We talk about there being one power, one light, one life. And we talk about a lot of other things. We are a teaching that's a philosophy as well as a way of life. So to share a little more about what we believe and how we believe it, we have our Declaration of Principles, which will be read to us by some of our practitioners and board members. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. Bullet points in that Declaration of Principles shape who and what we are. There's a great deal more that we choose to believe in that we study and talk about. The best way to learn that and the best way to really learn to utilize this teaching for yourself in your life is taking classes. And we'll be offering some of those coming up in the fall, so keep an eye open for classes. Practitioners are an important part. You just saw some of our folks, a very important part of our teaching. They're an important part of who we and what we are. A practitioner is someone who has studied the science of mind to the point where they understand it well enough, they have been able to use it in their lives to create change and to make things better, to make things different. And then a licensed practitioner is someone who has learned to do that for others as well and to be able to work with other people. So they get a license from Centers for Spiritual Living, our mother organization, that says that that's what they can do and that's who they are, and it verifies their ability and their capability. So we have many licensed practitioners in our organization. To see who they are, you simply go to our website, cslmidtown.org. And every minister in this teaching is a practitioner first. Not only are we a practitioner first in terms of the lineage of our studies and our development, but even once becoming a minister, our belief, our stance, our holding our place in the world as a practitioner comes first, before our ministerial duties or any of those other many things that go about leading a community. It has to come first from that consciousness of a practitioner. So today I'm the practitioner that's going to share with you. And let you know what's happening in the world or what I'm wanting to share with you about where we are today. We do this each week. We have a different person sharing. Today I get to be it. So I want to share with you from our 365 Days of Richer Living, which is the book that the earlier study group that goes on at 10 o'clock every day has been going through. And today's reading is particularly interesting because it nails it right on with what the talk title is for the day. So I thought, why not? Let's do that. And I would say about this before I share it, read it, especially particularly for anybody listening who is under 50, that this is archaic language. This is language from several centuries ago, and I'm going to read it in that language, but I'm going to do some interpreting as we go. Some of us who have been around the planet a few more times will recognize this and probably have some sense of real feeling and connection to it, and that's a good thing too. But it's important that we understand the intent and the ideas here beyond just what the words are. So I'm going to read a good bit of it to you. The title for today's reading is, Today I Wait Upon the Lord Within Me. Lord is a tough word for some of us coming out of a different tradition. But all it means is the spiritual law, the guidance, the leadership within me. So today I wait upon the Lord. I wait for something to happen there. Knowing that the divine spirit is everywhere and realizing that everyone who asks receives, today I ask of my spiritual self that I shall come forth afresh, that it shall direct every decision with intelligence, and that it shall make perfect my way before me. So in asking from the Lord, we're not asking out there, we're asking in here. We're asking from within. And realizing that this Lord of life is my true inner self, the incarnation of God in me, I learn to lean on this divine shepherd. And shepherd is a guider, a nurturer, a caretaker. This inner shepherd to accept every desire, good as though it were already an accomplished fact. Cool. So let nothing enter my thought that would contradict this allness and this goodness of the Spirit. Spirit within. The divine shepherd within me is ever with me, guiding, counseling, leading me into pathways of peace. Leading me into pathways of peace and security. I rest in calm expectation, in enthusiastic anticipation of every event that is to come, because I wait upon the law, the Lord, the guidance, the shepherd within me. We live in a world right now that's crazy. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. You watch TV. You see things on YouTube. And I say crazy because things just don't make sense. Things don't seem to be in any sort of manageable control. And what this is offering is the idea that regardless of that, there is inside each of us a guide, a support, a power, and a goodness that can carry us through whatever we're seeing and facing out there in our lives. So I invite you down to join me in spiritual mind treatment. This is a form of affirmative prayer. It is a prayer of a real specific kind. That's why we call it spiritual mind treatment. We are not admonishing the God out there to do something for us, because the God out there truly is the God in here. So we're treating that part of us that is our mind to a better idea, a better way of thinking. So I will do this in the first person. I invite you to take it for yourselves also in the first person. So I stand in full recognition that there is but one power, one life, one light in the world, as the world, through the world. It is everything that exists, and everything that is in creation and is created from and out of and as part of that one power. It is in no way separate. As creation forms and shapes and takes different versions and different events and beliefs and ideas, there's no way in which any of that is separated from that one power, For that one power is that in which we live and move and have our being. So I can declare right now in this moment that that power is showing up in my life as calm, peaceful, joyful guidance, as supplying me with the best ideas for what's my next action to do today. What is my next thing to do? Where shall I have lunch? What shall I do to share love with another person? What shall I do to speak my truth somewhere? And how? And it draws to me the opportunities to live my highest and greatest expression of life. That energy, that power is working in me and in all creation to coordinate and to organize this whole business of life so that peace and harmony and joy and love and goodness are what are present for me right now. And so I take a deep breath, and as I breathe in and let go, I recognize that I am presenced by this powerful beingness within me that brings me that peace and calm in this very moment. And with ease and grace, because I feel it and know it now, I know that it is here for me in every moment when I just pay attention. So knowing this, I fall into deep gratitude that I live in a user-friendly universe that responds to me according to my beliefs, and that responds to me by nurturing and supporting me in every aspect of my life. And in this gratitude, this deep gratitude, I can release this treatment now, knowing these words are spoken. This word is now the mind that is God. These words are now unfolding through spiritual law into every aspect of my life. And I simply go forward from this time, looking forward to in anticipation for what is to come. I let this be the truth for me because it is. And so it is. Gary was the one at the piano, and this when I was at teen camp last week and the part of the week before, he was the musician. We had rooms next door to each other, so I had a chance to get to know him. And the best part was that every day at quiet time, which we have an hour each day where everyone is quiet over the whole camp, it's a really sweet thing, and except for him. And Gary plays music that kind of echoes out through the whole place. He's got an outdoor stage. And it was really sweet and really wonderful. So I always feel that presence again whenever I hear his music. So today's talk is not one. It's a confusing one. Let me just be straight about it. How do you have a relationship with God? When I first came in this teaching, you didn't hear the G word that much. Mostly we heard talked about infinite intelligence, universal presence, and source. Very seldom did my teacher or the teacher that was at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science at the time, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, rarely did he talk about God. Now, when he did, everybody sort of sat up and listened because he was very clear that ours is a teaching that is about God, but he didn't use the G word much. And I was grateful, frankly, when I first got into this because I didn't want to hear it a whole lot. Because every time I heard that word, I heard all kinds of things that resonated with what I had experienced or what I had known in times past. And I know that that really did not bring forward any kind of good feeling for me. Because what it brought forward instead was a kind of memories of that word being used to try to control and manipulate my behavior. You know, you better not do that. God's listening. You better not do that. God knows what you're up to. And you know what? The Spirit of God, boy, this is the worst one, is everywhere. Everywhere. It knows what you're doing. Everywhere. In the shower, with your friends, with everything. And for me, that was not a pleasant idea back in those days, because I was trying to be perfect, because I had the idea that I had to be perfect in order for God to approve of me so I could get into heaven and see my dad again. Because he died when I was a kid, real young, 7 years old. And I wanted to be the best possible kid available, because I needed to get back up there to see him, because I thought he was the best thing there was in my life. So I really was very happy when I got to this teaching, because I had already decided that most of that stuff wasn't true anyway, the way I'd heard it, and certainly not the damning parts of things and the judgmental, because I also heard that God is love. And I thought, wow, isn't that a cool thing, that love is everywhere? But that kind of got overshadowed by the other stuff. However, my mind had shifted, and by the time I got into this teaching, I was very grateful that we talked about infinite intelligence and universal presence, because the G word conjured up all that old judgment. And I have to admit that over the years, since I have been a minister in this teaching, my own conversational and my own use of language has slowly shifted. And I talk less now about universal presence and life and these other words for this infinite oneness, and use the G word. Because for me, it's very clear what I'm talking about. But I'm also aware it's not real clear what everybody is hearing when I say that. So this is a reminder to me, I'm sort of speaking to myself for this first part of the talk, to remind me that I need to get back to that clarity that makes sure that we're not talking about the old guy in the sky who hands out presents and punishments kind of randomly and is in some way separate from us, and whose approval we have to earn either by faith or by behaviors or something. That was always kind of nebulous to me as to what exactly I needed to do. So it's really important that in this teaching we understand that when we talk about God, we're talking about a whole different kind of thing than this outside energy, this outside presence, this being in the sky that is somehow separate from us. We are talking about an energy of life. The best synonym I know is life. Life itself that moves through your body, that animates your body, that animates your mind, that allows you to think and feel and know and experience. That energy of life is really what we're describing when we talk about the one power and the only thing there is. When we talk about the one, the wholeness of it all, we're looking at a unified field of energy and information that is much larger than we can imagine, that is infinite and eternal. That all of the universes, both this one and whatever other universes are out there, and science is telling us there are lots of them, whatever those are and wherever they are contained within this one universal field of energy and information. And you and I and the chair you're sitting on and the floor I'm standing on, all of these things are expressions of that one energy, that one power. And we have looked at it and we've said its qualities are things like love, and its qualities are peace, and its qualities are harmony, and its qualities are change. One of those qualities I just assume are a little less going on right now sometimes. Its qualities are also things like love and peace and harmony and goodness and freedom. Have you ever felt you have absolute freedom? You know how terrifying that is? I experienced it when I was taking sabbatical and wandering around the country, and I'd get up in the morning and say, where's my car going today? I don't know. And about a week into that, I woke up one morning absolutely terrified. Terrified that I would make the wrong decisions and that my freedom would somehow lead me somewhere I didn't want it to, or that I wouldn't know what to do, or some other crazy thing like that would happen. Well, the good news is, well, all that did was allow me to face those fears and go, okay, but you live in a universe that loves you, that is loving, that is supporting, that is providing everything. So took me about 2 days to work through that until I got back to that place of waking up in the morning and saying, I wonder what today holds. Let's go find out, you know? And nowadays, I wonder how many times we wake up with that idea. I wake up this morning wondering what today holds. instead of, oh my God, it's morning. How much? Get me some more coffee, please, so I can think straight and so I can figure out what to do to avoid any further pain or to grasp onto something good or to keep out of that trouble. Or, you know, we get into all of this right and wrong, good and bad, as if this one power that is God is not already present within us. See, that power is within us. That's what we keep talking about, because we're in it. It's what you're made of. So how do you have a relationship with what you're made of? I mean, in some ways, it's an absurd idea when you think about it. Having a relationship with that which you are, ultimately and in total fullness. But the answer is really very simple, and you already know it, I'm sure. And that is the way to have a relationship with the infinite, with God, with whatever this your idea is of ultimate power, is to have the most effective relationship, loving, supportive, and nurturing that you can have with yourself. Now, that's not selfish. That's not egotistical. Because what that means is I'm also having a relationship with myself and recognizing that so are you, and so are you, and so are you. And I'm honoring your responsibility and freedom to do that according to your best idea. So the way to have that relationship is to have the relationship with myself. And, you know, I don't know about you, but myself has a whole bunch of versions. And maybe it's just because I'm crazy, but I don't think so. I think we all have different versions. I have my walking around version and my ministerial version that I try to speak carefully and watch. And my grandson reminded me today that that's when I am filtering very carefully what comes out of my mouth. And then I have the version like got loose in the truck this morning that is unfiltered. And it's just a flow of consciousness. And it's very entertaining. I will try not to put you through that, but if you're related to me, you don't have a choice. So, but it's that other part of us. And I also have some parts of me that are like the little kid that I grew up as, the little kid that was loved and appreciated and desired and had such freedom, and the little kid that was not so loved and appreciated and had freedom, the little kid that really was the brunt of a whole lot of hurt and pain, and that was scared and closed up and held back and wouldn't speak up. I was invisible for much of my life. I learned how to be invisible. I could go be in a room full of people for a whole afternoon and nobody knew I was there. I'd go home and nobody would remember if I was there or not, because I could just be invisible. I wouldn't speak. I wouldn't be there because I was afraid to be visible. Because that part of me was kind of in charge. So how to have a good relationship with God is to have a relationship with all of that you, because there is another part of each of us that is that observing self. It's that you within you that recognizes who you are, that knows you and knows who you are. It's the knower that is beyond any of those parts that have been affected by the world around you or by your growing up or your history or what you believe, but that is aware. It's that life that is alive, that is there and has been there all along and will be there long after your body shifts and changes into whatever's next. Some call it the observing ego. In Buddhism, it's the observer. In Hinduism, it's the idea that God part of you is there alive and well and observing and directing and guiding if we will simply listen to it. So having a relationship with the infinite is about having that deeper relationship with you and being willing to do what it takes to tap into that greater self within you. Because the fact that it's there, it's always creating, but you're guiding and directing what it does. And that can be wonderful because it's always saying yes to you. So when you and I or any of us are saying, you know, life is rich and good and wonderful and I'm prosperous, it's saying yes, and life is rich and wonderful and prosperous. And we start saying, oh my God, this world's a mess and how am I going to get by and what's going to happen and oh dear, you start having more and more experiences of how are you going to get by and oh dear. because it always says yes. And that's what spiritual law is all about, as it brings forth and brings forward these ideas. So our job to love ourselves and to love that, develop that relationship with the God within us happens through things like self-reflection, meditation, journaling. It's a really interesting process in journaling where you use your dominant and your non-dominant hand. Because when you write with your non-dominant hand, the one you're not used to, it tracks different lines and connectors in your brain. So you could start out, all right, God, what do you want? Why in the world am I such a mess? And then use your non-dominant hand, whichever it happens to be, to answer. And it'll be hard to write, and it'll look really weird. And you start to get messages that are very different than you expected. Don't think about it. Just write it. And things come through. And you begin to connect with and understand parts of yourself. If you, you know, in all of your knowing, know yourself. That famous, famous quote. So knowing ourselves is first step in loving ourselves. And I don't know about you, but usually when I hear talks about forgiveness, I'm thinking the first person I need to forgive is me. That's a part of loving myself. That's a part of having a better relationship with the infinite within me. It's forgiving myself for playing small. Forgiving myself for playing less than who I really am. And then being surprised when I get less than who I really, what I really want. Lots to forgive there. Another way of really honoring and having a greater relationship with that God within us is by participating in the creative process. We do it automatically, but by being conscious about it. I'm consciously creating. That's why we do spiritual mind treatment, because it brings us back into that conscious awareness and we make definite steps towards participating in the creative process. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about being co-creators, that we co-create with God. But I want to suggest to you that we aren't co-creators, because it is the God within us that is creating. So there's no co. There's no us and. There is us creating. And through our imagining and our dreaming and our visualizing and then taking those ideas and turning them into physical action and experience and places, we are creating our lives, and we have the power and freedom to create even greater things than we have yet to do. But it has to start with the vision, with the idea, with the belief. And if we get the more time we can spend with what is it I believe in and what is I want, the more we will see it materialize and become shape and form. There's a great story that I love, and it's about an umpire school. And the reporter shows up at this umpire school where these guys are learning how to be umpires for baseball. And they ask this first group they come up to, who are the beginners, so how do you know what to call a ball, a strike, or whatever comes across the plate? And, oh, well, we call it like it is. It is, you know what it is, and that's how it is. They go to the little older guys who've already been in training a while, and they say, so how do you know when it comes across the plate what it is? How do you call it? And they say, well, we call it as we see it. And how we see it is how it is. And then they go to some of the instructors and talk to them and say, well, so how do you know whether it's a ball or a strike or what you do? How do you call it? And one of the older, wiser people says, you know, it's nothing till I name it. That's the creative process. That's the power of what you do. All these things swirling around us on a day-to-day basis are nothing until we name it. And we can name something as a loss, or we can name it as a beginning and an opportunity. We can name something as a holdback and a constriction, or we can name it as the beginning of something great and new that we can do and do better than before. We can name a loss as an ending of something, we can also name it as the beginning of a new chapter in our lives. We have that power because we are creators of our world and of our life. And that's where the real energy flows from. And that's where God itself in you, as you, to use the G word, is creating your life accordingly, where you have that relationship with that aspect of yourself that has this creative power. You build a relationship by utilizing the relationship. I mean, how do you have a good relationship with a friend? You be a friend and you create that relationship and you get back together with each other. You talk back and forth. You can have a friend you never talk to, never have any connection with. You can call them a friend. But so what? So what if they're my friend? You know? What matters is the energy of the relationship and the action of the relationship. And that's what you do and you get to do in this whole business of life and living. That is how we relate to this infinite power within us. It's how we build this relationship, is by using it and being active in it. The other aspect of this is really important not to leave out and to come back to, is that as we're doing this, self-awareness, self-direction, self-development, self-love, and love of creation and creating, the aspect of self is not an isolated thing. I am not a self separate from you. You're not a self separate from me. We all are part of that same energetic light and life. So for me, then, it becomes not only recognizing that I am the center of spirit in me, but so are you for you, and you for you, and you for you. There's an interesting T-shirt I bought at the Constitution Center in Philadelphia. And there's all stuff everywhere around there about we the people, we the people, we the people. And one of the T-shirts and one of my favorites that I bought there and wear says, I am we. And it doesn't mean I'm not still my own unique self. It doesn't mean that I do not have the responsibility for caring for and loving those parts of me that matter. It means that I am also one with you. And you and I are each other's alter egos. We're not separate entities that live completely separate. We are part of each other's experience and lives. You are my opportunity to stand up here and speak. I'm your opportunity to show up here on a Sunday morning and do something different and to share ideas and to go with this. We all, in many ways, play out roles for each other in this great, infinitely intelligent world in which we live. So in many ways, we are the expressions of God to each other as well as to ourselves. When we share love, when we shriek, when somebody walks in the room because we haven't seen it for a while and we're so glad to see them, it's God saying, yay, you're here. Haven't seen you. I love it. I'm so glad you're here. It's a great story, and I'll close with this, that I love. The little kid whose mom puts him to bed at night, and he crawls in bed and she tucks him in, and she goes and gets back and gets in her bed. And 10 minutes later, little Johnny's snuggled up underneath the covers and come up to snuggle up between mom and dad. And mom says, Johnny, you can't sleep here. You got to sleep in your room. Yeah, but there's scary stuff in there. There's monsters. And there's one especially under my bed that I can't get rid of. And mommy picks up little Johnny and takes him to the other room, and she scares away the monsters and tells him, you know, you're safe here because God is protecting you in this room. And little Johnny's, okay, door closes, settles down. Mom gets back in bed. She's almost asleep, and she feels little Johnny crawling back in bed with her. And so she cuddles him a few minutes, and he stops crying, and he feels better. And then she takes him back to the room and puts him in bed again. and says, Johnny, you know, God has got you. He's protecting you. God will take care of everything. You're safe. And then she goes back to bed and thinks, okay, now I can go to sleep. And sure enough, she falls asleep. And about who knows how much long later, the bed squeaks. And little Johnny's crawling back up in bed, sniffling. And Mommy holds him again and says, Johnny, I told you, God's protecting you in there, just like he is in here. And Johnny says, yeah, Mommy, but I need God with some skin on it. Sometimes we all need God with some skin on it. Sometimes we all need this idea of love and nurture and care and support with skin on it, talking back to us as well as us talking to them. And this is what we're really all about, and this is the truth. And this is how you have a relationship with the infinite, is in your own heart and soul and being, because that is the place of power. Because you're wonderful, so am I. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. And so now, Vance will come and talk to us a little bit about prosperity.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Awesome talk this morning. And so our relationship with God is our relationship with money as well. And yes, in that, I'd like to do our affirmation of prosperity. With that, you can give in several ways. You can go to the website, you can click on the QR code, it'll take you right to the donation site. You can do one-time donations or ongoing donations. So that's all set up. So if you would, with me, say our affirmation for prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And now back to Dr. Bob for some closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. So let's close in a moment, but first just reminding us all that we do have this wonderful celebration here in person and on the internet every Sunday. We will be here. I will be here every Sunday in, what is next month? August. Already, can you believe it? Except for the last Sunday, and Reverend Cynthia, she's not McCarthy anymore. I'm in trouble. Paulson, thank you. Reverend Cynthia Paulson will be speaking on the final Sunday, and she's very much looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having her back to do this. I get to be the one sitting at home drinking coffee and watching it that morning. So I do that with ease and joy. I am also just reminding us all that coming back here together, and invite your local friends, the people you know that used to come in person that you think might be interested. Give them a call, reach out, share us on Facebook, share us on whatever social media you've got. Like us, if nothing else, because all of those likes and all those shares help build our momentum and build our footprint out there in the internet world. Also, thank you to those who are with us on the internet, and I invite you to do the same thing. We are not just a center that meets here in person. We are now spread all across the globe, and I'm grateful for having that opportunity here to really take us forward and take us out into that place. So knowing that that is true, I invite you to join me in our closing affirmation, which is our affirmation of life, and it goes, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need for the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you all very much.